turn back to that scripture there that Brother Ron read. I'm going to try to bring a message from 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel 21. You got it there? 1 Samuel 21. Now we're looking in our Bible at 1 Samuel 21. Let's begin reading at verse 8. And David said to the priest of God, Ahimelech, is there not here under thy hand spear or sword? Now David's on the run for his life. His own father-in-law, who was the king at that time, his name was Saul. He knew that David was God's anointed, and he was determined to kill David. David here is on the run for his life. He said on one occasion, there's a step between me and death. And David finds refuge with the priest of God, seeking for food, seeking for a weapon to defend himself. And the priest of God says, David said to Ahimelech, is there not here under thy hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapon with me, because the king's business required haste. David had to leave in a hurry. And the priest of God said in verse 9, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in this valley of Elah. You remember that standoff between the Philistines on one side and Israel and the armies of Israel on the other side, and how Goliath stepped forward and railed on the God of Israel, and how David stepped forward in the power of God and took a single stone and slung that stone, killing the giant. And then David took the sword from Goliath, not having a sword. Goliath was dead, but he ran up to the corpse of that giant and drew out Goliath's sword and took his head. The priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it's wrapped here in a cloth behind the ephod. Now that seemed kind of strange to me, that the sword of Goliath would end up in the city of Nob where the priest is, and then wrapped up. It's almost like they kind of saved it for some kind of a trophy, a victory of some sort. But the reason it's there is so we have this text so we can preach the gospel to you. That's the reason it's there. It's behind here. It's behind, wrapped up in a cloth, and behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, you take that sword. For there's no other sword but that one sword. And David said, now here's what I want to work on for just a little bit. There's none like that. There's none like that sword. Give that to me. Give that sword to me. David knew something about that sword. He knew it had a good edge. He knew it had good steel. He knew it served his purpose to remove the enemy's head, Goliath. So that's the title of the message. None like that. None like that. Give it to me. David here is remembering the victory that the shepherd boy had over a giant. Remembering how God had blessed him and God had given him the victory. And David, when he's in need of a weapon, referring to that sword, said, there's none like that sword. Just let me have that. Now, every believer, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, can respond with similar words as David did to the priest of God. There's none like that gospel. Give that to me. I want that gospel. You see where this text is? That's why that sword's there. So I could preach this message to you. And others could. There's none like the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. There is, make no mistake, there is no other gospel. There is no other message that God has certified and given. Matter of fact, Paul called it the certified gospel in Galatians chapter 1. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is certified of God, and there's none like that gospel. It's unique. It's unique in that it comes from God. It is of God. Salvation is of the Lord. There is no gospel like our God because there's no God like our God. You remember the phrase repeatedly in the gospel according to Isaiah? I am the Lord and there is none else. There's no God like our God who is God in heaven and in earth. He does according to His will in heaven and in earth. And none can stay His hand or none can say in Him, Lord God Almighty, what doest Thou? There's none like our God. I love the way the Apostle Paul calls the gospel in Romans 1, the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. There's none like that gospel. You wouldn't have another, would you? You wouldn't have another gospel that said, well, God done His part, you must do your part, we'll put the two parts together, now we have a hope. That's what the Apostle Paul called in Galatians chapter 1, another gospel. Which is not a gospel. That other gospel of works that's man-centered, man-glorifying, will not save a flea, let alone a sinner like me. I need that gospel of God. There is no other gospel like the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Give that message to me. That's what I want to hear. Christ, preach it to me. Give me that gospel. Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, I've never heard, some of you may have, I've never heard a believer complain that God's preachers, sent of God with God's message, preached Christ too often, exalted Him too high, or gave Him too much glory. Now, I've heard some people complain, but I've never heard a believer complain that we talk too much about the Lord Jesus Christ. His person, His work, all that He has done for us. God forbid that we should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We glory in Him because we love Him, we own Him, we look to Him. There's no message like that message. Preach it to me. Give it to me. I don't want another gospel. I want that gospel. I like what Cornelius said when Peter, being sent of God with God's message, God's gospel, he said, Cornelius said, give it to me. There's nothing like that. Didn't he say that? In words more or less, he said, give that, Peter, give that to me. There's nothing like that. Because he said this, we're all here to hear about Christ. Immediately, therefore, this is Acts 10:33. I sent to thee, Peter, that thou hast well done, that thou art come. Now therefore, we're all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. There's none like that message, Peter. There's none like that gospel. Give it to me. Give it to me. There's none like that. Give it to me. Now, I've picked out five things that I want to talk about in regard to this phrase, there's none like that, give it to me. And I could easily pick out 500. Because the gospel is it's unsearchable. The unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to limit myself to five. So here's the first one. There's none like that, give it to me. Fine. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In regard to God's holy, inspired Word of God, there is none like that. Give me the Word. Preach the Gospel. Look what he says here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the believer, may be perfect, complete in Christ, truly furnished unto all good things, even unto good works. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at the appearing of His kingdom, preach the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Give me the Word. That's the charge that God has given unto His church. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 talks about for the believer to put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate, and then he says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word is described as a sword, that the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. There's none like the Word of truth, inspired of God, given God unto us. Now, consider this. Consider who the author is. These are not the words of Paul, although he penned them down. These are not the words of David, Isaiah. Holy men of old spake as they were moved and driven by the Holy Spirit. This is God's Word we have in our hand. There's none like that. There's no book like this book. This is a book of books. This is God's Word. This is God's truth, inspired, God-given. Consider who the author is. Almighty God. Consider this. Consider the subject of this book. There's none like the subject of this book. This book is all about a person. This is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Who He is. The Word. You know, the Word talks about the Word. The Lord Jesus Christ is that incarnate Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Give me that Word written that points me to the incarnate Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Word's all about the Word. All about Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said in John 5 to those Pharisees, you are they which search the Scriptures, and they did, but they missed the message. They are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. If you would have believed Moses, you would have believed me. Moses wrote about me. You see, this book is all about Him. Turn to Luke 24. You know this scripture. The two men on the road to Emmaus come near to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 24, verse 25, then He said unto them, O fools, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses, that's Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. And all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. This book is all about Him. The Word. There's none like that. Give me the Word. Then again, over in Acts chapter 10, when Peter is preaching there to Cornelius, he said to him, to the Lord Jesus Christ, give all the prophets witness. I mean, Isaiah talks about that sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down His life for His sheep, the Lamb of God. That's the word I'm looking for. The Lamb of God who takes away our sin. Isaiah writes about the Lamb of God who comes to save His people from their sin. This book is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now consider this. Consider the effects of the Word preached when it's blessed by God the Holy Spirit. Consider the effects of the Word. There's none like it. Give it to me. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. There's none like that. Give it to me. The Word of God has a powerful effect when blessed with the power of God the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. It came, but not in word only, it came in power. The blessing of God upon us. You see, consider the effects of the word preached. Jeremiah said, thy word is like a hammer that breaks the hard and stony heart. The word of God is so quickening. Of His own will beget He us with the word of truth. It's heartwarming. Those same two men in Luke 24, you remember what they said? Didn't our heart burn within us when He opened to us the word of truth? It's heartwarming. It's soul quickening. It's a guide unto us. It's a lamp and light unto us. That Psalm 119 is all about the word. Every verse, with the exception of one or two, talks about the precepts, the testimonies, the word, the command of God. That word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. This word is the children's bread. We desire the sincere milk of the Word that we might grow thereby. You see, there's nothing like God's Word written, incarnate, and preached. Every believer can say, give me the Word. Give me the Word. There's none like that. There's none like that. Give it to me that I may learn of Christ. That's why we're here. Give me the Word that I may see Christ in His Word. Our Lord said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. There's nothing like His Word. Give me the Word. Give me His Word. That I may have faith in Him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Give me the Word that I may learn of Christ. Give me the Word that I may have faith in Him. Give me the Word that I might grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul, when he writes to those for his last meeting with the elders there at Ephesus, he said, departing from them, I commend you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. Give me the word. Give me the word. Preach the word. There's none like that. Give it to me. Okay, here's number two. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. You remember the story of Peter and John being in the temple and the crippled man who was begging for alms, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk! And he did. But you know they got in trouble. And here in Acts chapter 4, they said, verse 7, when they had set them in the midst, this is Peter and John before this council, by what power, by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done unto this impotent, helpless man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set of naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none of the name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other salvation but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give that to me. That's the only salvation that will save a sinner. He came to save sinners, and I'm the chief one. I'm the chief offender. In regard to God's salvation, there is none like that. The whole of salvation is totally of the Lord. Salvation of the Lord in its origination and its planning to its ultimate perfection. Salvation is all of the Lord. He purposed it in eternity. He's a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He purchased it with His own blood. He said, you are no more your own. You're bought with a price. He loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. He bought the church with His own blood. There's no salvation like this salvation. Purpose of God. It's by His purpose, by His grace. It's purchased with His own blood. And He applies this salvation to whom He will. He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. There is none like that. I need mercy. Matter of fact, I'm a mercy beggar. I'm a mercy beggar before the throne of God. There is no other sacrifice for sin, is there? But the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Our Lord said through the writer of the book of Hebrews that He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin. He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And He is our great high priest, who did bring the typical animal sacrifice, not with that we are redeemed, but not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with His own precious blood. He obtained, He did it, He purposed it, He purchased it, He obtained eternal redemption for us with His own blood. He bought us. Now I use this illustration to make a point. When you ladies go to the grocery store, you make out a list. And you make out a list, you choose the things that you want, you go there and you pay the price. You don't go there and buy the whole store. You go there with a list, you elect out what you want, you go there and purchase it, and then you don't walk off and leave it, do you? Not on purpose, you don't. You take it home with you and you enjoy it. The Lord Jesus Christ, He bought us with His own blood, and He's going to take us to eternal glory and enjoy the fruit of His atonement forever. He's going to have what He bought. That's what I'm saying. He's going to have what He bought, and He bought the church with His own blood. There's none like that Redeemer who really redeems. There is none like that Savior who really saves His people from their sin. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him. You see, there's no other salvation but in Christ. There's none like that. Give it to me. Give it to me. Now, next time you read this text, you're going to remember that, aren't you? Give it to me. Give it to me. I need that salvation. I need Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that He came to save sinners. There's none like that salvation. Give it to me that I may be justified before God, justified freely by His grace. Give it to me that I may be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, but that righteousness that's freely imputed unto us. Give that salvation to me that I may be accepted in the Beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give that to me that I may rejoice in Him now and forever. Give that to me. That salvation. Give me that word. Give me that salvation. Thirdly, turn to Romans 8. In regard to God's love, there is none like His love. There's none like His love. Those for whom He loves, they're not going to perish. And He loves His own in Christ Jesus. Let's read about it. Romans 8, look at verse 32. We'll start there. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, who in heaven, earth, and hell? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Nope. Distress? Nope. Persecution? Nope. Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sore? Nope. As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Over there in Revelation 1, where it talks about the song of the redeemed, it's unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. To him be all the honor and glory, both now and forever. For I'm persuaded, Romans 8, 38, that neither death nor life, angels, principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give me that love. Give me that sovereign, particular, effectual, redeeming love. Give me that love. I don't want this universal nonsense that says God loves everybody and yet some of them wind up in hell. That's no. What kind of love is that? That's no love at all. I want that sovereign love. I want that love that really works. I want that love that gets the job done. I want that love that draws me to Himself. He said, having loved His own with an everlasting love, I've drawn thee with loving kindness. Having loved His own, He loved them to the end. In regard to God's love, can't you say, give that to me? Give that to me. It's electing love, isn't it? Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. It's electing love. It certainly is sacrificial love. When John talks about, in 1 John, he talks all about the love of God. But he said, herein is love, not that we loved Him, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the sacrifice for our sin. Now, He brings us to love Him, but we love Him only because He first loved us. And He's loved us with an everlasting love. It's electing love. It's sacrificial love. It's drawing love. It's compelling love. It's motivating love. We're constrained by the love of God, the love of Christ. It's glorifying love. It's adopting love. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. You see, there's none like this love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ. There's none like this love of God. Give me that love. I want that love. Lord, love me in Christ, of which there's no separation. Having, it says in Romans chapter 5, it says over there, let me just read it to you. You know it well. He said, but God, well, when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. God commended His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then one of my favorite verses, you know well, don't turn, let me just get it for you quickly, over in Ephesians chapter 2, where it said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and in sin. Give me that love. None will perish for whom the Lord Jesus Christ loves. There's nobody in hell for whom the Lord Jesus Christ loves. Nobody. His love is saving love, electing love, drawing love, adopting love. It's the love of God that shall never fail. 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. Because the Lord Jesus Christ cannot fail. You remember this song? Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Love of God, how rich, how free, how measureless and strong. There's none like that sovereign love. Give that to me. Give that to me. Here's the fourth thing. In regard to saving faith, give that to me. Now let's see if we can find the scripture here. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. In regard to saving faith, God-honoring faith, true faith, the faith of God's elect, 2 Peter 1. There's none like that faith. Give it to me. 2 Peter 1, look at verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Faith is precious. With us through the righteousness of God, our Savior Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Like we have obtained as the free gift of God, this precious faith through our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. There is none like this faith. Give that to me. I need saving faith. We read in Hebrews 11, without faith it is impossible to please God. You see, a man without saving faith is a man without Christ. A man without Christ is a man without salvation. I need faith in Him. This faith of God's elect is the gift of God. It doesn't bloom in here naturally. It's the gift, sovereign gift of God. It's the gift of God. And this faith that's God-given, it always looks back to the giver. It looks back to the giver. Saving faith doesn't look here. It looks back to the one who gave it. Listen to this scripture. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You see, saving faith looks to Him. Looks to Him. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Faith is a gift of God. Faith is obtained through the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith has one saving object, Christ. Faith believes, loves, and acknowledges the truth of salvation by God's grace. Now, can't you say in your heart about this saving faith, this is a gift of God, it's called precious. Give that to me, that I might see the beauty and glory and loveliness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give that to me, that I might see my need of Him. Give me that faith, that I might honor Christ. True saving faith. Abraham was strong in faith, giving God all the glory, being fully persuaded all that God had promised, God is able to perform. Saving faith believes that God's able to save to the uttermost. Give that to me, saving faith, that I may please God through faith in Christ. Give it to me that I may lay hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Give me that saving faith that's a gift of God, that I may be justified. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Give it to me, that saving faith, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Lord, give me saving faith that I may worship Him in spirit and in truth. The precious gift of God. Lord, give me that saving faith that I might look to Him. Now lastly, in regard to the hope of our salvation, let's find 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In regard to our hope of salvation, there's no hope like this hope. Give that to me. Look what it says here. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore stand fast, hold the tradition, hold to the truth which you've been taught, whether by word or by epistle, preaching or written. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, you got it, verse 16, and God even our Father, who had loved us and had given us an everlasting consolation and a good hope through grace. The grace of God. God saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. We have a good hope through grace. Now stay right there. Look right across the page. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Christ is our hope. He's all of our hope. There's no hope like that. Give it to me. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Give it to me. Our hope of salvation is based upon the eternal and unchanging promises of God. All the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God through Christ Jesus. Now, we read a moment ago from 1 Samuel 21, and then earlier from Psalm 146 about David, the king of Israel, the anointed one of God, the chosen one of God. This was David's hope of salvation. Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. David had his hope of salvation only in Christ. Many psalms we could refer to. But Psalm 23 said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Now if He's my shepherd, we're well fed. We're watered. The green pastures of His Word. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want for anything. He supplies all our need according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Psalm 27, whom shall I fear? There's no hope like this hope in Christ. Our hope of salvation is not a mere wish. It's not a shot in the dark. It's a person. Salvation is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other hope. You remember David's last words? The Lord had made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and is sure this is all my salvation, all of my hope before God. The hope we have in Christ is the joy of our heart. Christ is our joy. Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say, rejoice. You see, there's none like Him. There's no gospel like His gospel. There's no salvation like His salvation. Free grace. Sovereign grace. There's no word like His word. He said, heaven and earth are going to pass away. My word will never pass away. It's forever settled in heaven. There's none like His truth. None like that faith that's God-given. The gift of God. And there's none like that hope we have in Christ. I used to, for years, when I'd close my radio program, I tried to close with this statement. With the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Lord Jesus Christ, there is endless hope. But without the Lord Jesus Christ, there's hopeless end. A hopeless end without Him. Oh, may God give us faith to look to Him. May God open our eyes that we may see Him, that He is, to you who believe, He is precious. To you who believe, He is altogether lovely. Everything about Him is lovely. I love everything about Him. He's altogether lovely. Okay, Lord bless you. Thank you.